Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for admitting me, Gray. I'm in the mood for some good poetry tonight. I hope I got you all swinging and moving and grooving. Welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. I want to put a shout out to Gray Eye Smith and to Weaver and Dreams, who have been helping me and voicing for me because I have been very, very ill with a virus. I'm glad it wasn't COVID, but the virus was bad enough as it was. So we're going to be doing some front page picks tonight, and we're also going to be doing open poetry, and I want to thank the people who are calling in to help read and comment and hanging out in the group. And I also want to thank all the people who sent in recordings who couldn't be here for the show tonight. So a little bit about us. This is the Late Night Poetry Group. You can find us on allpoetry.com, and it's free to join. And also the Late Night Poets Group, the poets have donated poems from around the world to develop these books, and they are on Amazon, Late Night Poets Anthology, and they're beautiful, and they're thick, and they're just amazing. So go check them out, and they're affordable and make great gifts. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And I want to welcome my co-host, Miss Katie from Portland. Hey, Katie.
Hello, my darling. How lovely to hear you again.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. I'll try to hang out with my voice as long as I can. If I start coughing, I'm going to have to hang over the duties to Gray Isohos. Hey, Gray.
Hi, Lou. Hi, Weaver.
Hello, my dear.
Hi. And we have another caller. I think this is Naomi. Not too sure. Let me pick them up. Caller 1111. Is it? Hey, Naomi.
Hi. Hello.
Sweetheart. Welcome. How are you doing tonight?
No, I'm doing great. It's a good day.
That's good. Yeah, we might get some snow. So I'm hoping not because I'm already tired of winter. I mean, I get tired of summer when it's hot. But I mean, laying on this clothes, I look like this big arm wrestler that I could go and wrestle people with. I got so much layer clothing. Oh my goodness. And anyhow, you ever seen that Michelin man who can hardly walk because he's got all that, you know, those tires around him? Well, that's what I feel like. So we're going to get started, and I will be helping Gray. I watch the phone line, and we have another caller. Ooh, ain't I a lucky girl? Caller 512, who am I speaking with? Caller 512, who are we speaking with?
Frank, are you on mute?
Is that Frank?
Or Laura?
Who's fine? I'm thinking, I don't know if it's Laura. Frank or Laura. Is Frank? Okay, Frank, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Hello? Hola. Well, I guess that's not working. I guess if he's there, I'll call back. I'll just run on back there and check it out. Okay, Katie, let's get the poetry a-rolling.
Okay, honey bun. Right, we have Memories of Our Autumn by Xylophonic Blues. I can't remember if this is a lady or a gentleman, but I don't know. Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Memories of Our Autumn by Xylophonic Blues. Cornflower, liniments, crisscross, trussed lattice of scarlet Bordeaux, blossoming between silver moon shutters. Warm ginger sighs, sunlight spinning, where dawn infuses eyelashes with hibiscus teas and warm rays of tangerine. Mm-hmm. Mosaic colors staining the naked canvas, pale pompous sculpt language and sound. Morning dews, moss, rivers, transient web, gravity's thought so daphanous, an alchemy of words. Glances, liquid, ambiguous carousel, maple veins radiating, axle in and out, charcoal moonless nights, vestments, blossom, bosom beating, planting, painting, writing, creating, gifting comfort, renewing tranquility, silent syllables, recorded air, breath and being, unexplored roads traversed, eyes among the viewless gaze, cobblestones, champagne, apricot, lampshade, mahogany, vineyards, quilted gourd. With your pennies in the roaring flood, childish dreams traveled, planks upon the wooden bridge, lips traced cherry rouge, stepping stones across artery skin, misty ripples entwined, burnished limbs, cinnamon, honey sprinkled among canola flowers, riverbanks kissing mulberry, sumac, red rose, inked frost. Copper butterflies glide, crickles nestle in cotton shadows, boulders, gurgling water, breeze fluttering through apple bark. Blood orange daffodils, scarves wrapped with the earth's heat. Shrews stroll, mice run through thistle fox groves. Cider footsteps yawn over hidden rabbit holes. Pockets crunch, twig below. Amber sap oozing in autumn's rustling beneath the dim blue vault of night. The moon with the way-worn notes of joy and care. Like clouds, a sail on glossy streams. Like visions flown, voyagers, our winged flight. The sundress draping jar of fireflies, fading silently, distant west. The heartache, twilight trembles, light has faded upon sunbeams dressed. End poem.
I'm going to say, Gray, you did such a beautiful read of the Vomit Blues poem. I know that Laurent had read this last week, but during the show, for some reason, it was cutting him off. So I wanted to make sure that this poem got its just desserts and its beauty. I really, really fell in love with that first stanza. Cornflower liniments crisscross, tessellatus of scarlet bordeaux, blossoming between silver moon shutters, warm ginger sighs, sunlight spinning, where dawn infuses eyelashes with hibiscus teas and warm rays of tangerine, mosaic colors staining the naked canvas, pale pampas sculpt language and sound. I was just really enraptured with the beauty and the imagery and the description and the richness of the jewel tone colors that she pinned here. And I saw that she did get a gold medal, and this was well, well deserving. But before we start commenting, I have two more callers, and hopefully you can hear them both. And if I'm sorry for the heavy breathing, but it's due to my coughing. And too bad it's not Wednesday night, because it would be most appropriate. Okay. Frank, I hear you.
Hi, Frank. Frank.
Are there any people trying to hear me now? Are you able to hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Yes, I can. Welcome to the show. And we have another caller, 58. Welcome, welcome. Glad you're back from your volunteer work. And, you know, thank you for doing that, because there's so many in need. And I hope that those children were happy with the things that you brought them. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Bless you. And 585, you know this is the buttery, delicious voice. It's very white. Oh, Laurent.
I say, what? What are you saying? Oh, oh.
You the butter man. Hi, welcome, welcome.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi,
hey, Frank.
Hello there, my
We're doing great.
To hear from you.
Naomi, what else is here? I'm late. I'm sorry.
We got Katie, Gray Eyes, Naomi, Frank, and, of course, yourself, Mr. Butterman. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay.
I have to talk to you, Lou, God damn it.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, when I was coughing, it didn't mean I wasn't thinking those thoughts.
That's true, but coughing is a good cover for strangeness, you know. Come on now.
Okay, so let's get down to some business. Katie, what did you think about Gray,
actually
did a great read. What did you think about the
Sonic Muse? Oh, she does this so beautifully. This is her, it was for a contest where they had to have to write about all the different senses, and you could see she does it so beautifully. I think I picked out the one that you picked as well. but I love amber sap oozing in autumn's rustling beneath the dim vault of night. Oh, that's beautiful. But yes, really lovely, and I really enjoyed it. And I could feel, I could hear, I could taste, I could see. It was great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It sure was. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Naomi?
This is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's more than beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. You know, the way she brings in the imagery. The imagery is out of this world. But, you know, all the emotion, too, in it, you know. I just love, we threw pennies in the roaring flood, childish dreams traveled, planks upon the old wooden bridge, lips traced cherry rouge, stepping stones across artery skin. Oh, wow. You know, that is so, you know, across artery skin. So, so sublime. Mm-hmm. You know, what a wonderful right this is. And, you know, every rite that she writes, exophonic blues, I mean, I just fall in love with her rites. So just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Naomi. And what did you think, Frank?
No, I wasn't able to hear the poem entirely. I was busy calling in, fortunately. But I've always been admirer of his poet. I've always been admirer of his poetry, so I'm not able to comment too much on it because I didn't hear the poem completely.
That's okay. I'm just happy you called back and we were able to connect you. And our next commenter is Ron.
Did you say me? I'm sorry. To me, this is one of the finer nature poems I've read in years. Copper butterflies glide, crickets nestle in cotton shallows, boulders gurgling water, breeze fluttering through apple bark, blood orange alfalfa, scarves wrapped with the earth's heat. I lay prostrate at the feet of a real poet. The imagery, stunning. Remarkable.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray Eyes, you did a great job in reading. What did you think?
Thank you. This was a beautiful take on the five senses of perception. You know, it's got smell, sight, taste, sound, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful artistic expression of all those senses. So a wonderful job. I thought he captured the prompt quite beautifully.
Oh, I'm so excited. Dang, I missed y'all so much. Okay. Ready for the next poem, Weaver?
Okay. We have Breath by Sweet Secrets. And Naomi, could you read this for us, please?
Okay, Breath. Let the silence engulf you. Bring the mind home to your body. Spare a moment to be. The anxiety within breaks through, emotions less cloudy, finding joy in being free. Breathe. Come into the silence of solitude, whereby within springs serenity, embracing your inner peace. Exhaling, feeling renewed, regaining your sanity. Feeling your happiness increase. Breathe. Letting yourself be weightless. Feeling the energy flow around. Accepting it into your soul. The body release from its distress. Sensing your nerves calm down. Finally regaining full control. Breathe. End poem.
Oh, I've got to say, you really gave this poem a beautiful, lovely read, Naomi. I love the way that you express the word breathing in between the stanzas, you know, in that form where we're in a meditative state and we need to calm our mind and, you know, allow the energies to flow within us, you know, because I do believe this. Exhaling, feeling renewed, regaining your sanity, feeling your happiness increase. Breathe. And, you know, I think I wasn't sure if it was Reborn or it was Naomi or it was both of you, but they found out that actually hugging a tree can absorb your energies and give you energies. And they found, which a lot of people don't know, this is why Native Americans walked barefoot or they walked with moccasins so that their feet, when it's on not pavement, not concrete, but when it's on natural substances like bricks and dirt and sand and grass and meadows, the way that your feet touch the earth, it absorbs that energy and it gives you peace. And this is what it reminded me so much of. And I just thought this was just gorgeous. And I love the way you read it, Naomi. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
No, it was beautiful. Yes. I'm the tree hugger amongst us, I think. It's my great delight in life. And I truly understand what you mean about getting energy from them and giving energy to them. They're just beautiful things. Live forever, hopefully. I thought this was beautiful because a lot of people can't really bear silence. There's some people hear silence and have to leap in and fill it. Other people can really enjoy silence. You find people who can sit and do just exactly what we've been advised to do by this beautiful poet, is just to breathe. Ah, perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. How about you, Greg?
Yeah, I thought Naomi did a beautiful read on that poem. But, you know, the poem was hypnotizingly soothing. You know, it really was relaxing, as if you were in some sort of a meditation as you read it. Just a beautiful poem.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Greg. Thank you. And what did you think, Frank?
I can certainly relate to this poem here. I've gone through my spell of situations in which I've required meditation or even just the simple necessity of breathing, not taking that for granted. I thought the poem just encompassed everything of which life should be when we just relax, when we have time and realize what's important in our lives. And she touched on so many beautiful metaphors in this poem here, but I just cannot get over just the notion of just the line breathed in each and every one of these stanzas. So it was just a fantastic poem, and it was well written as well.
Agreed. And what did you think about the poem, Laura?
I thought Frank just made an absolutely wonderful comment on not only the poem, but the entire idea of meditating. The words that spring out to me come into the silence of solitude, whereby within springs serenity, embracing your inner peace, and then breathe scattered throughout about, you know, you breathe. The act of reading it releases knowledge of breath. I love what Frank said about not taking breathing for granted. And I must say that this group has wonderful readers everywhere. Everybody reads well. There are no people that make you wince when they're about to read. And that should be said.
No, and also what I love is, you know, of course, you know, we can always find things wrong. But you know what? That's not the whole point. The poetry is an expression of that poet individual mind and beliefs, and it's a pleasure to read what they think, what they believe, what they breathe, and I agree with all of y'all. Thank you, Laurent. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, what did you think? You did such a lovely job in reading.
Yeah, this is beautiful. You know, I have a hyperactive mind, so, you know, they tried to put me into meditation quite a few times throughout my life. That didn't really, you know, that didn't really work. But this year, like, I finally understood the whole meaning of just sitting in silence and, you know, being able to just enjoy life and that energy of just, you know, just sitting there and just enjoying the silence and you know, and it does increase your happiness. You know, it is, I finally understood that all that sense of, you know, meditating and just being in the moment, appreciating the every second of time and life and yeah, silence is part of that. And so very important. So this
I'm
is
sorry,
awesome.
You made me laugh. Because I don't know if everybody has seen that movie by Disney called Up, and that little dog that when it sees a squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Okay, well, I'm like that. Okay?
I've not seen that one yet.
Okay, but, yeah, but I found ways to hone my, you know, breathing and listening. I've put up wind chimes, and then I've got hummingbird feeders and bird feeders. So that, you know, me and Buddy Woo, my cat, we watch the birds feeding and eating and the doves and the pigeons and the breeze, listening to the I love the sound of wind when it's blowing through leaves. And so I have found that I couldn't just sit quiet and meditate because I start hearing things everywhere. So I found by using things that are used for meditation, that's helped me. And, you know, I understand what you're talking about there, Naomi. So I just, yeah, I'm one of those squirrel people. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Yeah. So to hopefully combat my squirrel habit, we are going back to our reading list. Ms. Katie?
Yes, we have. We have September Rains by Cedar Chapman. And Frank, would you like to read this, please?
No, just bear with me one moment. I have to... All right, there's the poem. Cedar Chapman. It's called September Rains, and it goes like this. September rains slash through trees, twigs and branches, rasp and rustle, rot and distress, caught in a match of wheels, waiting to see which trunk bends and which trunk breaks. Each windy breath stokes the fire, a cindered origami rains down, painting the verdant canvas of brimstone in auburn hues. Intermittent gusts howl the battle cry, a cold and cruel reminder that morning frost is soon to follow. Stacks of flames pile on the soil, provide little warmth, as sun rays peep to gray and blue, offering only condolences and blessings. Titans rage against sleeping giants, furry critters burrow in mud holes, seedlings flex and limber, their heads tilted, praying on a pew, hoping to see another sunrise. The wind of the truce, penance and meditation, its resonating silence interrupted only by raindrops pitter, pattering behind high-pitched chips, cautious eyes peer, white blue jays take flight. The mighty oak and elm remain steadfast and defiant. The bare limbs clench onto emptiness, holding on to the tribute. But not long ago, in the shadows, robins once sang and sparrows eagerly pleaded warmth. The ghosts, they are now, tomorrow, tomorrow, they shall all return. End of poem.
Oh, gorgeous read, Frank. You did such a wonderful job in reading.
A bit rusty there.
No, you did fabulous. You know, there's so many different images that I like here. I'm just going to mention one of them. Each windy breath strokes the fire as cinder origami rains down, painting the verdant canvas with brimstone and auburn hues. You know, it just made me think so much of the, you know, the California wildfires, the Southwest fires that, you know, burn and, you know, there's burning, but when the rain comes, how it you know, splashes and mingles all those colors and scents, you know, the fire trying to survive, and also the trees and the rain that, you know, to me is a blessing, you know, especially in these areas that have so much issues with fire. And I just thought the September rains, you know, that he caught this perfectly. Thank you, Cedar, and wonderful reprint. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, it was just anything to do with wind, and you've got me. I love it. I love to hear it and walk in it. So it's just, it seems to just enliven me. I wish other people could enjoy it, but most people sit in their houses, curled up away from the wind. But understandable. I thought this was perfect. This was just every single aspect of wind and rain and the trees. I mean, the first stanza alone gives you it, doesn't it? September rain slash through trees, twigs and branches rasp and rustle, brought in distress, caught in a match of wills, waiting to see which trunk bends and which trunk breaks. Ah, you can keep your soap operas. This is enough for me. I'm excited. Yes, I think it was beautifully done, and just everything about that kind of weather that I enjoy so much. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Cedar. It was wonderful.
I agree. Thank you, Katie. Beautiful comment. How about you, Gray?
Yeah, I thought Frank did an excellent read on that, and the poem was stunning. You know, it's a powerful tribute to the power of autumn, and just a wonderful, wonderful rite throughout.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. How about you, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, this really caught, you know, the rains, the devastations, you know, that happen from nature, but also, you know, the majestic of the tree, you know, the majestic stand of the tree, especially in that last stanza, the mighty oak and elm remain steadfast and defiant. Their bare limbs clench onto empty nests, holding on to the tribute that not long ago in the shadows robins once sang, and sparrows eagerly pleaded for worms, though ghosts they are now. Tomorrow they shall return. They shall all return. You know, just the majestic, you know, of the tree there, you know, their steadfastness, their defiance, their will to live. They're just what they are. You know, a tree is such a, you know, it's almost like, for me, a holy thing. You know, you know, we have to have our trees, that's for sure. So amazing, amazing, right?
I agree. Thank you, Naomi. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Frank?
Well, you know, this poem really personifies the whole essence of what essence of what nature is when it comes to its seasons. You know, unfortunately, forest fires are abundant. There are things; these are things that, fortunately, we cannot control to the full extent. But what I appreciate about this poem is just the whole notion of nature and its process of going through the fire itself, the rains as well. And I like the notion there that's offered there, what was fed by Naomi, those lines there of the robins there. You know, they're gone, they're ghosts, but they shall return. And, you know, I've got really quick, I have a banana tree, and it dies off in the winter and it comes back during the spring. So this whole notion of these fires and, you know, what they destroy, there's always a seed of something, whether it's a trunk or a root that's there, you know, and it just makes me think about the whole process of what nature is, you know, and it's good and bad.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Laurent?
The soul of nature in autumn drifts throughout this poem. The rain, a blessing, denizens of the forest, bringing to life gorgeous descriptives, uplift, despite the fiery circumstances. It never takes nature long to return. poet really grasps the essence of nature poetically and accurately. Great piece.
Great. Thank you so much, Lawrence. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okie dokie. We have Loveless by our very own Selena.
Oh, boy.
And there's a SoundCloud for this. It's great. It's great doing SoundClouds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can do it.
Thank you.
Magic fingers.
The underworld's revenge. Let blood boil beneath Ekron. Subterranean rivers, surface and distance scriptures.
I think you got the wrong
where
one.
Where seven princes.
Here we go.
How many times can a heart break, yet keep on beating? Battered and bruised, it valiantly struggles through, never losing hope as I do. It keeps repeating, endeavoring in its quest for a love that's true. Stinging scars remain within of the painful past. Cruel cuts which cause sentient pain, yearning only for him and his love to last, while allowing him to burn me again and again. So now I surrender to my loveless state. I no longer wait with eagerness to be kissed. I have resigned myself to my hapless fate. I know that for me, happiness doesn't exist. I chose the path, so I have to follow, passing too many crossroads long ago, biding in fields once that lay fallow, reaping poor crop of good seed I tried to sow. I ask myself why others don't understand my plight. They don't realize the years I have tried in vain. They think I'm too weak or too lazy to fight. They feel not the years of unbearable strain without a loving touch or a tender smile, which for so long has been my way of life, a voyage without safe harbor to while between rough rolling seas of ceaseless strife.
Oh my goodness. You know what? That was heartbreakingly beautiful. Stelina, oh my God, your voice just pierced my heart and my mind with the imagery here, you know, when one loves so deeply somebody and it's not returned. And right here in your second stanza where you say, so now I surrender to my loveless state. I no longer wait with eagerness to be kissed. I have resigned myself to hapless fate. I know that for me, happiness doesn't exist. You know, you have to experience those emotions to know to the depth of the pain and, you know, where we believe the issue is ourselves, and sometimes we're so hard on ourselves when truly in the issue it is them, because why slap away the hand that gives beautiful recording music and poetry, Stelina. Thank you, thank you. And Katie, what did you think?
Oh, yes, this one goes deep. This is lovely, Stelina. Your voice is so beautiful in this. I can feel the pain.
Yeah,
I'm sure everybody else agrees. It's done so well. You can actually feel tears and hear the heartbreak. So good. I really, really loved it. I always think your writing is beautiful, but this has got a tenderness to it as well as the pain and the hurt. as if, you know, please understand me and don't judge me. I loved it. I thought it was beautiful. The music behind, as ever, the background music was just perfect. Well, thank you, my dear, for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Katie. And Grey Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, it was a wonderful SoundCloud. She's very artistic at her SoundClouds. And the rate was, you know, heartbreaking and lonely build and very palpable. You know, you could feel the emotions throughout the rate. So just a beautiful job.
Thank you, Gray. And Naomi, what did you think? You're still in this poem?
Oh, my gracious, eh? Wow. You can feel the heartbreaking, like the heartbreaking in two in this, you know. Stinging cars remain within of that painful past. Cruel cuts which cause sentiment pain, yearning only for him and his love to last while allowing him to burn me again and again. Wow, you know, you just, anyway, you, I just felt this whole thing, like you said there, Kate, and you, Lou, you just feel the emotion pouring through. And that voice, oh my gracious, Selena's voice, like Kate said, it just makes your heart ache.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's just so, you know, beautiful and so filled with emotion, you know, when she reads. Oh, this is absolutely fabulous, Delina, my gracious. I'm speechless, you know. This is amazing.
Are you on mute, my dear? Or are you in the green room?
Okay.
You're here. Gray, are you here?
I'm here.
My dear.
Oh, it says she's dropped. Oh, no,
okay.
Frank dropped. Sorry.
Do you want to carry on, Gray, just until she gets back?
Sure. Are we ready for the next poem, or did everybody get to comment?
I don't know if everybody commented. Did somebody... anybody not comment?
I haven't commented.
Well, would you care to say a few words?
I would, thank you. Sometimes unbearable pain of heartbreak resonates in this particular piece. You know, one of the poet's duties is to draw out the emotions of the reader. And she's certainly done that. I mean, you could cut the sadness and misery with a butter knife. She layers the emotions in skillfully, all moving towards a complete resignation of hope. Marvelous work.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, what do we have next?
Right, next we have, let me get my little finger busy here, Inner Struggle of One by Sapphire Rose. Now, oh dear, she's having issues calling back. Oh, get back soon, will you? Yes, so I'll read this, and I have to apologize in advance because I seem to be losing my voice a bit. I don't know whether it's nerves or what it is, but everything gets a bit awkward, so I'll do my best and make I don't make a mess of this. So we have Inner Struggle of One by Sapphire Rose. Night fights the dawn, curling into streaming light, my heart and head searching for that inner might. One lost eons ago, battle for sanity, or just let go. End poem.
Okay, can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't get to hear the poem, read the poem, or hear it, so I'm going to go ahead and ask for comment. What did you think about the poem, Kate?
I thought it was lovely. I thought it was very... very succinct, obviously not the greatest of things going on for that particular lady that particular time. She's fighting everything by the look of it, but it was sad, and somebody else is in pain. Curling into streaming light, my heart and head searching for that inner might. Obviously there's a great battle going on, and I don't think she's losing. I think she'll win, but it doesn't sound like it's an awful lot of fun. So beautifully written. Mm-hmm. I got the pathos and I got the pain. And doing that within, you know, tiny amount of words, 28 words, is so good. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
You know, it's a heart-wrenching poem. You can really feel the suffering going on in this rite, you know, not being able to get to sleep without wondering whether you're battling to stay alive or to die. And it's just a heart-wrenching poem. It captures the prompt beautifully.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Naomi?
I love how she starts out the poem, Night Fights the Dawn. You know, like the battle between darkness and light there. And, you know, it's, you feel it streaming through her body as she says it in so few words. You know, that inner battle that's going on, you know, in her heart, in her head. You know, that battle almost against, you know, madness, you know, that, because she says battle for sanity or just let it go. You know, she's just on the brink there of breaking down, I find. So amazing brevity and so few words. Very emotive piece for sure.
Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, what did you think?
This is a strong piece, a younger person's poem. It's labeled teen, and no one beyond. Let me rephrase. You know, when you're of a certain age, coming into the world, and there's much sound and fury all about you, and you don't know where you're going, and you know, you scarcely know where you've been, and there can be the agony, that internal agony that keeps you battling for sanity, and you want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't. Beautiful piece.
Thank you, Ron. Excellent comment. And Frank, did you get to hear the poem?
No, unfortunately, I was not able to hear the poem.
Okay. All right then. And we are ready for the next poem. Thank you, Frank, and thank you, Ron.
Okay. What we have next is Where Darkness Grows by Arcana Amor, and that sounds like this.
Yeah. Gray?
Blackened seas of stormy clouds that cloak the skies within their shrouds, as midnight falls in twilight pools, and to sleeping spirits the nighttime calls. Black as the raven, black as coal, in banter black streams that swim your soul, drowning the light within their pitch, dragged into depths of a darkened ditch. Through obsidian veils of haunting tales that gust through minds in ebony gales, they descend at night, by pale moonlight, in deep dark thoughts that blind all sight. Black as obsidian, black as a widow, that wade through dreams upon each pillow, invading the nightmares of foreign hopes, in sliding descent down slippery slopes. From sinister deeds, the heart recedes, that grow from seeds of shady needs. Though night is dark, so cold and stark, it waits to hark the dawn's remark. Black as black holes that swirl in space, swallowing stars to devour their grace. Black as oblivion, blacker than crows that dwell in the shadows where darkness grows.
I have got to thank Arcana. He has such a fabulous voice for reading poetry. And I just love the way he does it and the music that he picks. And he just draws you into his delicious darkness, especially with his vampire poems. But I really, really like that last stanza. Black as black holes that swirl in space, swallowing stars to devour their grace. Black as oblivion, blacker than crows that dwell in the shadows where darkness grows. Oh, you know, just so dark and delicious. And he just pulls you in. Oh, and oh my goodness, that voice. He reminds me of Ozzy Osbourne. He looks like him too. I mean, fabulous poet. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Oh, yes. The words fabulous poet come to mind, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lover of the dark and black. And the darker things are, the happier I am. And this one is fabulous. It's basically based on give me as much mention of black as you can. And that's what we have here. Ah, it was wonderful. The music, background music, was pretty good, too. It really helps. Makes such a difference when you've got that. Selena said she was gonna, Selena offered to help me to put background music on mine. And I kind of said, I don't think I'll be able to do that. But we'll try again. We'll try again, Selena. She'll talk me through it. But I love it. I thought it was wonderful. So
well,
thank you so much.
Like they say, Katie, I may not have certain skills, but oh yes, I do have other skills.
What?
Are we deviating from tonight or what?
No, I'm
what
sliding into
that?
Wednesday.
Don't laugh at your voice. Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe yours. What did you think of, Greg?
After that comment,
I thought.
Did
I
you
thought
drop,
was,
Gray? Hello.
No. Hello. I thought it was a beautiful read. You know, it was very dark and intriguing throughout. You know, it really captures your imagination with the darkness all around and can be found everywhere. And I just thought it was a haunting poem. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Greg. And what did you think, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, haunting, is the word there. Black as obsidian, black as a widow that wade through dreams upon each pillow, invading the nightmares of fallen hopes and sliding descent down slippery slopes. Wow, I think we can all relate, you know, to this darkness here, you know, and in this. But, you know, what an amazing poem on just the aspect of, you know, just the darkness that surrounds us all around. Beautifully written, as always, and beautifully recited, too. So This is an awesome,
I agree.
Amazing.
I totally agree with you, Naomi. And thank you, Naomi. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, I've come accustomed to listening to him more and more. His fan clubs seem to be improving as well. Stelina, I was not able to hear Stelina's, but she's listening out there. You always do a fantastic job as well. This poem encompasses the essential nature of darkness, and he does a tremendous job of just reciting this type of poetry as if it was his forte, and he does it well. I like the metaphors, and there's a rhyming scheme here, which is, it's not easy to rhyme in this type of poetry and be so successful. And I thought in the end, to end this, it was just a fantastic poem and fantastic thumb club.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you. And Laurent, I would love to hear your comment on this poem.
Look, words are normally two-dimensional. They lay on a flat plane. And, you know, when you produce a poem, sometimes the production can overwhelm the words, but here the production gives the words marvelous phrasing, space to mesmerize and chill. And I call his voice an icy knife of a voice raising the hairs on my neck. Pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at your comment in the group where you said that the poetry in three dimensions, the production allowing the word space to mesmerize and chill, the icy knife of the voice raising the hairs on my neck. Pretty great stuff. I agree. I totally agree with that, Laurent. Thank you so much for a fantastic comment. And we have one more poem in our front page pick before we delve into our open poetry.
Okay, and we have
Thank you.
Unrolled by Zara and Naomi. Would you like to read this for us, please?
Okay, unrolled, muddy paths, high walls, unrolled roads, thorny bushes, bloody hands, cracked feet, gnarled backs and tired eyes, the climax of race nearing, our door is rearing, the finish line cheering, brawling to pull the last drop of energy and overcome juncture of surrender, probing I, is there potency left to push ahead? The summit is waiting a victor, just a step, just a last grip, indomitable win, end poem.
Oh, you did a fantastic job in reading Zara H's poem. I had to go, while you were reading, I was listening, I had to go look up, and no, I'm sorry, I'm talking to my cat, he's trying to sit on my keyboard. Let's see. She wrote to, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they give up, by Thomas A. Edison. And I thought this was a powerful poem. I see that she won the silver medal, you know, especially where, you know, she talks about, you know, that where she starts off, you know, how when we're going through such hard times trying to accomplish something, you know, and I love the muddy paths, the high walls, you know, walking through mud, how you have to work and trudge through that. The high walls, the effort of looking to hide to get across it, unrolled roads, thorny bushes, you know, the pain that we suffer and the bloody hands. At times we do bleed, and the cracked feet from the walking and the effort that we've put through. And I thought that she did this wonderfully. It was very powerful. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, this is got so much energy. I thought it was wonderful. It woke me up. I like that. Very good. Brawling to pull the last drop of energy and overcome juncture of surrender. Probing. Is there a potency left to push ahead? The summit is waiting a victor. Yes. Really, really well written. This it makes you think about how difficult it is sometimes to just pull that last tiny little bit of energy. And if you don't do it, you're going to kick yourself for days afterwards, no matter how much it hurts, and your feet hurt and your breathing's gone, you have to try. And
yeah,
that's what I like about this. This is somebody who tries. So very well done, and thank you for sharing.
Yeah. You know, because when you go through that, the satisfaction of winning or accomplishing something, when you sit back and you just go, I effing did it, I did it, I did it. You know, it just feels fantastic. And Gray, what did you think?
I really like it. You know, it speaks to the struggle that we all have of completing the mission and, you know, not giving up before the end of that mission. So just a wonderful write on the subject of perseverance.
Agreed. Great comment, Gray. How about you, Naomi? You read it and did a fabulous job. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, this just makes me think of the, you know, the extended metaphor either of climbing a mountain or, you know, running a marathon. You know, I used to run a lot. Now I walk. But I used to run a lot, and, you know, and my feet would bleed, you know. And, you know, so I can really understand this. And, you know, I was very competitive. And so I understand that, you know, this want to be able to push yourself to the limit there and to become the victor. So, extended metaphor for just, you know, striving towards that goal and, you know, succeeding and not letting, not giving up. So amazing, amazing right here by Zara.
Thank you, Naomi. Wonderful comment. How about you, Frank?
Well, you know, I too am sort of same things, same thoughts are shared there by Naomi. But I also felt that it was also about life in itself and, you know, picking yourself up from the ground after failures and how difficult the strife is of living and how you have to overcome battles every day. So in that regard, I thought the poem really touched on to me the whole process of struggling in life and trying to overcome, you know, the difficulties of life in itself. So this was just an excellent reminder of that.
Yeah, you reminded me of something that somebody told me one time. You know, it says, you know, yeah, you did fall. But he says, if you got to crawl until you can stand, you crawl. And that was one of the best advice that I got. Because sometimes you can't stand up right away. So the effort of just moving forward. Wonderful comment, Frank. And how about you, Laura?
Are you okay?
Well, if I can get off mute successfully, this is very strong writing. And the image of an unrolled road I thought was striking. This poem gave all its effort and won.
Exactly. Thank you, Laurent. And now we are into open poetry. Okay, Katie. No, bad cat.
But we have New Spoons by Babbler. And I will read this because I think it's my turn. Okay, Babbler, sorry if I stumbled. My husband bought weird-shaped spoons, tossing the old hodgepodge cutlery into a bag for Goodwill. Start fresh, he said. The new spoons are black, with deep shoulders that slant sharply into the drop, akin to the spoons in Thai restaurants, best for slurping pho or xylobagogogo, poop when the broth flows out. I have never made those dishes at home. Western spoons with ornate handles are perfect for sneaking late-night bites from the peanut butter jar. The poorly mimicked silver, originally a set, but wandered wayward into a drawer of newfound family some time ago. The shape falls along the same curve as my mother's thumb and the roof of my mouth. I take two of the new pieces from the drawer, place them back to back, tuck my index finger loosely between them, and smack them against my thigh. The clank is an arrhythmia, refusing to find a pace. Hard, singular, new residents of the kitchen drawer are a monoculture in C-flat. The good music can be found for 79 cents each at Goodwill. End poem.
I have got to say, that is a delightful poem. In fact, I was, you know, this is odd because I was talking to Katie about this today, that I like to collect vintage pieces and antique pieces. And, you know, each one for just different reasons. And, you know, I love this, you know, how, you know, even today while I was cooking some chicken stir fry, I had to use a certain stone to take out the red hot chili oil. I had to use a different spoon for my corn silk, and then I had to use a different spoon to whisk. And it, you know, and it's just so funny because you go by the shape and the heaviness of the spoon. So if I got a whisk, I need a light spoon and a thin spoon that I can spin fast, you know. And, you know, of course, I like to eat certain. I just finality in it. And I just thought this was fabulous. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed Katie's read. Let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Well, I never knew spoons could have such a fascination to them.
They do.
You know. Yeah, I hear that by your comment. But, yeah, you know, I get it that chefs have their particular instruments they like to use for whatever reasons. But, you know, I thought it was a you know, image-filled poem with a deep metaphor as well. So beautifully done.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Naomi?
My gracious, this is so, so cool. You know, this is right down my alley. This is something, you know, that I would have, you know, I sometimes I just write, you know, I can't put all my pieces on before midnight shows because, you know, they have some of this language in them. But, you know, sometimes I write about just ordinary things. And, you know, this is really, really caught me. You know, it's so neat just to be able to sit there, take a look at an ordinary thing and make such a creative, stunning ride out of it, you know, just an everyday thing. And this is, wow, this is just stunning, you know, and it has a message in the back of it also, you know, that why go ahead and buy something new and something fancy when the old stuff can do just as well and can do better,
exactly.
You know? Yeah, and this is just amazing. Bravo.
I was talking to Katie about it today about, you know, collecting little treasures. And, you know, it's funny, you know, and it's funny because you even see in the old Rockefeller paintings and pictures those big bowls on the table, and they got those beautiful, ornate, silver carved spoons. Of course, I don't have those, but, you know. You know, it's just things. And, you know, haven't any of you guys ever, like, when you get some good grooving song music and you got a fork or a spoon in your hand and you just start tapping it, you know, and, you know, without thinking? Or, you know, I've always wanted to be one of those people that could get those spoons and play music on my leg with it. You know how they, I don't know what they're called. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, well, they do that in Quebec
here.
It's part of our culture. Yeah.
Yeah, they do it up in the South, too. And I've always, you know, I've always thought that was certain. And also,
for me, even though they're not spoons, but they're shaped like big fat spoons. My mother, because my grandmother was from Spain, she would play the caracas, and, you know, I never learned, but I guess I should, because this kind of like encouraged me. They're like big spoons in your hand, and in the mecca, you know, that you play when the Spanish dancers are dancing. And my mom used to play those, and I tried to play with them as little when I was little, but I never did
learn. You don't have a use for them.
That would be, yeah, no, it's not that I hadn't have a use for them.
You don't know how to use them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He said, no, I'm asking, do you know how to use them? He said, you don't know how to use them.
No, I used to play them when I was little, and I wasn't that great at it, but I did start to learn that, you know, of course, my string lessons that went aside and track meets and all that good stuff you get into, but I didn't. But what did you think about this spoon collecting poem, Frank?
Well, first of all, maracas are always good to try to learn. This poem here, this poem took me on just memory lane. It's not, you know, I go maybe once a week or twice. I go to Goodwill. I'm also a vintage mm-hmm. collector, as like you.
Me too.
I always go look for furniture or paintings or books. In fact, I bought a Garcia Lorca poetry book the other day. But I think that she encompasses here the whole nature of what Naomi was saying. Why have to, you know, why go look for something new when you can always find something there, you know? And I have, mm-hmm. since I've been here in the States, I have bought a lot of things that have been used, and I'm not going to deny that, or I'm ashamed.
Neither am I.
And I usually think that those things usually they tend to be not only less costly, they tend to be more effective. And so she did a fantastic job here. I have to say, I agree. I didn't know spoons could be so deliciously written in this way. So she did a fantastic job there. I'm going to have to think about the spoons now.
They are
wandering
is,
dancing
know.
Of the night there. I'll throw the maracas for spoons tonight.
You know, I went into this antique store and they were closing out and it was snowing. Nobody was buying. He was just getting rid of everything. And I bought me some chairs, two chairs. And he says, oh, just take them, $20 each. And I bought an antique rose picture that I have hanging full of roses. And I took my chairs home. And when I picked them up, I looked inside the label and they were made like in 1920, 1900, so they're over 100 years old, and I love them, and I still use them, and they're great for cello playing.
Share that in common there.
Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Laurent? What did you think of Babbler's poem?
That was a stunning write. She really draws out the kernel of the day-to-day ordinary thoughts, amusing on spoons that seems perfectly rational. It's witty and insightful observations made with a kind of detached bemusement that gives this piece a special flavor.
I agree. I really agree. Thank you, Laurent. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was fabulous. It just got my sense of humor. It's just so cute. And And her picture always makes her picture, she always looks a little bit upset or just maybe a little bit uptight, but this is just beautiful. It's just so funny. I am actually have a claim to fame. My claim to fame is I can play the spoons, and I quite enjoy playing
them. Oh, really?
Yes, my granddad taught me. Until I heard somebody say, there's many a good tune played on an old spoon, I stopped doing it. No more.
No, you should never stop that. You know what?
So funny,
this is what I do. I put my red lipstick on, and I go do what I need to do, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I ride to my own tune. I'm the type of person that you see driving down the freeway or the street with the windows rolled down, belting out a tune to a rock song, and I don't care. Makes me happy, and you know, and it lifts my spirits. And you know what? And I do believe simple things make you the happiest.
Yeah,
I really do. Yeah.
I agree. I'm a collector. I'm a hoarder. I don't think one of anything is enough. You know, if I can get four or five, I'll have them as well. God. My house is a four-bedroom house, and it's jammed
in
with tunnels. Well, I don't even have a garage. You know,
all kinds of goodies.
Oh, yes, I love it. I love it. I've got antique this and vintage that. And
Oh my.
I love that. I mean, Scotland
don't,
is wonderful.
Don't get me started.
Stuff.
I just bought a vintage Dutch clock, and I cannot wait to put it up.
Wow.
I love clocks. I love miniature clocks, clocks that are collectibles and like watches and
cuckoo sort of
clocks
was.
And grandfather
well, not a
clocks
clock,
and
but,
oh yeah, I'm a clock lover. You know, yeah, that's my love in old books. Oh my God, I love old books. And we're getting off the subject.
Again.
Back to the reading list.
Sorry, people. We're back. Okay, so now we have Without a Touch by Femora D. Okay. Naomi, would you like to read this?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to get back to the page there.
I thought you were going to say no.
Okay, without sorry
without
about
further
that.
Ado
yes, without further ado, Without a Touch by Femora. Your eyes dance with such excitement, flickering wildly as they connect to mine, your movements pulling me deeper in with the way you seductively sway, your whisper devious and debaucherous things, causing my skin to rise and my heart to dance. Carefully, skillfully, you play melodies upon these hungry heartstrings deep inside me. Masterfully, you sweep me off my feet as your fire swirls, burning between my thighs. Your craft makes me desire you all the more as you entice me with a single touch. End poem.
Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful read and a fantastic poem by Femora Soulweaver. I have got to say, I love that middle stanza. Ooh, your whispered tedious and debaucherous things causing my skin to rise. And my heart to dance. Carefully, skillfully, you play melodies upon these hungry hearts deep inside of me. Ooh, when somebody just whispers such delicious, dirty little things in your ears and they know you know they're meant for you. Oh, how arousing that is. That's my type of poem. Great read, Naomi, and I love this poem by Femora. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh my goodness me. Getting a bit warm in here.
Mm-hmm.
What's this, summer already? It was
the window open there.
I'll have to, you know me so well. I will definitely have to open the window. Or I may get one of those chaps with a palm leaf. That'd be so cool. Yes. Your eyes dance with excitement, flickering wildly as they connect to mine. Your movement pulling me deeper in with the way you seductively sway. Oh, you can't be a seductive sway. By golly. This is beautiful. It really is. It just basically, it's another one of those, well, I'm saying basically again, oh, bother that. It builds and builds. I love that. You know, it starts off so soft and gentle, and then you have the whispers and the skin rising and the heart dancing and all. And then you're swept off your feet. Well, that's it. That's the evening for me. Swept off your feet. Yep. Yes.
And Gray. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kitty. Finish up.
No,
sorry,
okay.
jumping the gun.
You can jump off the gun all you like. It's not a problem. Honestly, I was finished. Thank you very much.
Who's pulling the trigger?
Oh, not me.
That was a setup, Katie.
I'm going to have to write a script.
Yes. And send me the link after you do, please. And
okay.
Great.
There you go.
What did you think?
Well, you could feel the heat and the passion and the desire emanating between these two, you know, with the power to entice without a single touch. It's just a fascinating, right, full of beautiful imagery as well.
Fascinating?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, this is a melt me down and, you know.
Turn the light bulb off.
Turn the fireplace up and lay a bear rug in front and whisper all those things in my ears. Do whatever you want. Kind of poem. And so well written, you know, and just bravo. Oh. Yeah, you turned up the heat tonight. So bravo.
You know, just you saying that it's really bad when they talk to you someplace that you can't show any emotion, like you're in a store or a doctor's office, you get a phone call.
And you sit there and you're just like, oh, are they going to hear me breathing? Are they going to see my eyes dilating? You know, and then, you know, of course, your heart, you know, to control that breathing. I agree. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you're going to have to send me a pic of that because I've been to the doctor. I've not seen any of that. I can just imagine that. This obviously the poem is a very central poem there. I like the whole notion there, a lot of touch there. And what I have to say that the whispers there, the way you said that, that was just mesmerizing there. But it was a very central piece, and I thought that she did a fantastic job there. The eyes is what I always think that starts the seduction there. And they're in with the eyes. So, you know, when you think about seduction and you think about being seduced, it's the eyes that begin the dance and in the dance as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, it, especially when you tell somebody that and you watch for the reaction.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. And
I agree.
Laurent, what did you think?
I think the next time that Katie decides to plunge us into a sauna, give us a little warning. words of fire, sweating in January. It did its job. I'll use it inspirationally.
Oh dear, I'm so sorry.
And what did what did you like about the poem, Laurent?
Didn't I just give my
Well, I guess, yes, you did, but I was teasing you, Laurent.
Oh.
I was trying to draw you out.
What did I really think about this thing? As I sat here and felt the chills just kind of wave around my general area of the waist and below, and breathing began to accelerate, and my eyes opened wide. Perception was magnified. I'm telling you.
And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, you need to write for the Art of Sensuality. It is every Wednesday.
Seduction.
And let me tell you, the lines burn. So we invite you to listen and to write. And Katie, since we only have a half an hour left, I would like to get to some of the people who are in the group that are listening before we go back to the open poetry, like with Laurent and Nuno and Hope and Poetic Picasso has one in there and Naomi has one.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And Duke, I don't know if we can get to you just yet, but we will do our darndest.
And what I'm going to do, we're going to do three comments per poem.
You forgot Laurent
because
as well.
I would love to hear everybody's comment per poem, but
yeah,
we are running tight on time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Back to you, Katie.
I'm there, and I will have something for you in a second.
Yes, ma'am.
Reach it up and down. Reach it up and down.
Yeah, you got to go all the way down.
All the way to the bottom. Just where I'm best at. Right, I've got one here by our lovely Naomi, and it's called
okay.
Who's Bed? So, Naomi, would you like to read this?
Yeah, oh, my gracious. You know, this poem I wrote this morning thinking of nothing in particular. Well, thinking of the prompt, which was, Who's Bed? Have your boots been under? So I was just, you know, sitting down to write a fun, humorous poem. And then a couple hours later, front page pick, and I go, like, what the? You know,
wow.
somebody wants to get into my pants. Clearly somebody wants to get in the pants.
That's right.
How can this make front page pick? I mean, come on. So this is Who's Bed. I roll over, rub the sleep from my eyes. A pair of dentures greet me. Hi, you, from a night table in a giant, gleamy smile. My brain swivels and swirls, bang, on locks, flip-flops and burps up wine along with the glass. Rum and Coke, martinis and vodka on the rocks. I pry my squinted eyes open and in the daisy gloom see grayish walls. I'm pretty sure once were white. As cigarette smoke lingers, choking up the room. Then wide awake, I stumble in a half-slanted climb onto piles of clothes scattered over a fuzzy, filthy floor. Holy crap, Naomi, whose bed have you tumbled into this time? Groans and grunts surge from the jumbled jungle bayou. Hey, you, good morning. That sure was a fun whooping night. I mutter, thinking, and just who the hell are you? I scoop up my clothes and nosedive for safe shore, cursing everything possible with alcohol sold at that bar, stuffing myself into jeans and blouse and running out the door, leaving my squirming bra and panties sobbing on that floor. And
poem.
Oh, God.
I can see why this comes from. This is good, girl. This is so good. Something you write in your diary thinking, oh, shit, what did I just do? I have got to say, you know, when you realize what's gone on and then you're just, like, trying to get out the door and you don't care what you leave behind. I really loved where you wrote here. Groans and grunts surge from the jumbled jungle bayou. Hey, you. Good morning. That sure was fun. Whoopin' night. Huh? I'm better thinking and just who the hell are you? That was so good and so fun. And so realistic, and it's just, you know, those one of those things that just happen, and you just like, I ain't doing this again. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
It was brilliant, Naomi. It was took me back to my youth. Oh, it was so funny. I feel sorry for the brown pants, of course, left strawberry on the floor. But all beautifully, beautifully done. So funny. And just exactly what, you know, I myself would have been thinking at a time like that. So it just so relatable. Fabulous. Funny. I loved it.
Thank you, Kate.
Oh, that was good. And Gray, what did you think?
Well, Naomi, you did an amazing job of reading your poem. But your poem was funny. It was was engaging throughout. You know, you really took you on a journey of waking up in the state and realizing where you are and who you don't know. and then leaving your squirming bra and panties sobbing on that floor was just a coup de grace. So beautiful, right, and a fantastic read.
Thank you, Greg.
What was more funny is the comments I got after you, like, thought-provoking, and,
Thought-provoking?
Yeah, and, I hope you found out who that person was.
Oh, my God. No, that just reminded me when I went to the bar for my first time, and I crawled, I literally, on my hands and knees, crawled out of a 4x4 truck. And you just lay on the cool cement, just
having fun
with what you do when you're young. Man, oh,
hey.
Man.
Hey.
Oh, man.
As long as you can move the motion there.
Oh, God, and then I had to go upstairs. And then stairs on a second flight. Let me tell you, it was an experience, and you're right, you just never forget. I never did that again. Oh, man. And now we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay, and we have I Have Lost by our very own Laurent. So would you care to read that for us, please?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What? Oh, boy. Unfortunately, it changes the mood. I was kind of hoping it would be last. Well, I almost made it. I have lost.
No, that's okay.
There are depths I may not touch, heights beyond the reach of me, castles in the clouds, floating fantasies of singularity, undercutting this wayward vagabond, trenchant knives with subtle caress, play at emotions, his reality, naked of pity or tenderness. Ancient lust for power left golden treasure neath shifting sands, though I dig and exhume deep, what I seek lies far from hands. Wool of sheep, blood of lamb, of a chosen son, cloaks are woven of many colors. Came a time when I wore one. Black tides exert their force over each dream and aspiration. Thorns and ivy, barbs that bind, leave me adrift in isolation. Crystal nightingales in flight swoop and dive in melody, but my ears will only hear them as notes in a winter's serenity. Wind wails its sacrament, anathema to my misguided ears, which hoped for a benediction to ease the passage of my years. But nay, the gates have closed. A Rubicon may not be closed. The way is shut, dead fast. Time is won, and I have lost. End quote.
Mm. I was seeing that you wrote this for yourself in ancient poetic verse. You know, this is very deep and very emotional. You know, at times I can feel myself within these lines. Where is it? And it, where you say, black tides. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to let three other people comment. Excuse me, Naomi, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Yeah, this is awesome. You know, this deserves front page pick, not what I wrote. this is deserving. Oh my gracious! You know, black. Yeah, I'm gonna steal that your stanza there, Lou. But you know, it's too good. Black tides exert their force over each dream and aspiration, thorns and ivy. Barbs that bind leave me adrift in isolation. Oh, my gracious, this is so profound. It's so emotional, full, packed full with with emotions. You really hear your voice through this poem, Laura. And wow, what a phenomenal write this is. Wow.
Thank you.
Agreed. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, Laurent has a wonderful gift of writing. He has a wonderful gift of narrative. But I like the way he encompasses this poem throughout using the metaphors, which are the key to this poem here. He talks about every stanza starts off with something relevant, which is, you know, the wool of sheep, the black tides, the Christ United Girls, the wind wails. But I like the way he ends this poem when he says, the gates have closed, a Rubicon may not be crossed, the way is shut, steadfast time is won, I have lost. There is a lot of meditation in this poem, a lot of reflection there. And I thought, in a sense, I see the essence of time passing throughout this poem, like the hourglass, the sun and the hourglass. Very, 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 very reflective poem.
Great comment, Frank.
And Laurent, I see that you can't comment, so it goes back to me. So I guess I could have commented. you know, I find that this is personal. And it weighs a heaviness when we get into, for me, those moments where we look and we meditate and we see what's passing in our lives, especially here, right here, you know, the regrets that we have. Tides exert their force over each dream and aspiration, thorns and ivy, barbs that bind, leave me adrift in isolation. You know, that time where we should have or could have and couldn't have. And it's even worse when we can't and we want. And our dreams are just something, we still carry them. We still have them, but they lay across us almost like weighted tombstones because the want is still there, but the breath is not there to push them off. And, you know, and at times you do feel alone in these emotions that you carry. This was very deep. Laurent, would you like to say anything about your poem?
You know, it's funny. I mean, you may be right for all of that. I view this as somewhat dispassionately, I might say, as an exercise in promoting an emotion. And I thought of all the things that people could think of in poetic terms and tried to weave something that was cohesive. But yet, for all of that, it did come out of it. So, I mean, I'm not in any mood of misery, but yeah, it probably all of those things have crossed my mind at some point or another based on a situation in my life.
All right. Thank you, Laurent. Excellent poem. Very moving. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie. I just bad cat.
You're not talking to me, are you? Cat. I'm not a cat. I'm quite sweet, really.
Are you a bad cat too, Katie?
No, I just sit and purr. Okay. We have In the Middle of Blossoming Flowers. Oh, this is going to be good. By Poetic Picasso. Mm. And there is a SoundCloud.
Yes.
I awake in the middle of blossoming flowers to the morning smell of your fresh fragrance. And I can see the indelible image of your beauty amidst the exquisite petals of the lush meadow. Your tender lips are the colour of a ruby rose. Your sparkling eyes are the colour of lavender. Your summer dress is the vestal colour of jasmine. You are the reflection of the light of a new dawn. We lie within the layers of the blissful blooms. embraced in the perfume and gentle texture, two lovers with a scent of floral passion, when our lips kiss, will sparrows sing the sweet songs of yesterday, we dance in the rows of flowers, or we whisper into the wind the intimate words of love that nourish our hearts and enrapture our souls. You are my rose, my lavender, my jasmine.
I have got to say, you have, I talked before the end of poem. This is just beautiful. It's fragrant. It's beautiful. It's exquisite. It's lush with scent that you can smell as you just enrapture the reader. I love this where it says, this was to me was beautiful. The sparrows sing the sweet songs of yesterday. We dance in the rows of flowers where we whisper into the wind the intimate words of love that nourish our hearts and enrapture our souls. Oh, my God, that was just so gorgeous. And the scented perfumes and the, you know, the color of the eyes, and oof, this is just beautiful. Beautiful, Frank. What did you think, Gabe?
I appreciate that. Bit rusty there.
No.
No, it was beautiful. Did you ask me, yes?
Yes.
Thank you. I just didn't quite hear that. It's okay. I love all of this because I have this, oh, I just love flowers anyway. Anybody, everybody loves flowers. But I particularly like your tender lips are the color of a ruby rose. Your sparkling eyes are the color, the color of lavender. Your summer dress is the vestal color of jasmine. Yes, beautifully written and so lovely. It's just, I'm looking at all these flowers in my mind's eye and thinking about the beautiful perfumes. And you read it so well. So thank you so much for that. I really enjoyed it.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
And what did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Well, your romance is shining through again in this, right? You know, you paint a beautiful picture of the bouquet that is the woman of your desire. So just a wonderful, stunning, right? Beautifully read.
Great.
Well, I appreciate
you,
that. And this was a front pick page. I'm not sure if I mentioned that.
Beautiful. It was just gorgeous. And congratulations on your front page pick. And now we are ready for our next poem. Thank you, Frank. Katie.
Yes, no problem. I'm getting funny noises somewhere. One moment, please. I thought I had this and it's disappeared. I'll just put it back on again. Oh, dear.
That's okay.
It's the haunting. I'm being haunted. I bought a new mouse.
I just lost my computer, so... the internet, we got a storm moving in, but I can still follow along.
Okay, good. But yeah, so here we have Love Drunk Notes by Hope Soul. And I know she's on the board. So Naomi, could you read this for her, please?
It would be my pleasure. I love what is far beyond the bodies of rushing rouge waves, carrying koi fish and wish to kiss, toy toes and wet sands churned by poetic, lustful dreams, watching the distant constellations ride in galaxies, cosmic nebulas flowing down canals of molten comet stardust, imploding in atmosphere heat, gravity pulling young tulips to pucker, swelling lips that plea vows. I love that was there before, drunken petals staining shoulders, Merlot pencil line veins, retracting pollens, fatal fertile dews, collecting its own nectar to pollute. This has all formed what is here now and real. I cry at the tucked away drowning figures, nesting sparrows in corkscrew curls, tugging the gray. Not envious of the fires that had spread across the lap, thirsting for milk, constant empty honey pot, false bottom, ray of hope. Our spirits are alone, together, till June hungers in December's brooks, shows twilight shining, Jupiter's epic rings, visiting a promise to wait for spring. I don't worry about fallen autumn leaves dying underneath oak trees far from riversides or ports where empty beer bottles break. Others float along carrying roses absent of thorns, cresting up on the shores of Corpus Christi, hours of three far from the sea. Looking after the kittens and the pup, water bowls filled to the brim, tuna is fat enough to keep them all fed for 2 weeks, maybe even three. That's where brides wait at the door. Holiday weeks, vacation, bury in forget-me-nots, end poem.
Mm. You know, Naomi, you did such a beautiful read of Hope Soul's poem. It deeply moved me, the deepness and the richness that she sees in the one that she loves. And her words just blossom beautifully on the page. It just flows so natural. It's just gorgeous. There's so many things I loved about this. I cry at the tucked away, drowning figures, nesting sparrows, and corkscrew curls, tugging the gray, not envious of the fires that have spread across the lap, thirsting for milk, constant empty honeypot, false bottom ray of hope. Oh, you know, that, you know, it talks about the emotion that you carry and the love that you deeply have for somebody. I mean, those galaxies and constellations, it's just a glorious, beautiful poem. What did you think, Naomi?
Oh, my gracious. What did I not think about it? This is just stunning. Oh. You know, and every line, just the beautiful, beautiful writing here. You know, such talent, right down to that last stanza where she pulls it all together, you know, just the essence there of just being there in the moment and looking after that kitten and that pup. And, you know, when she brings the brides wait at the door, holiday week vacations, bury and forget me not, beautiful, beautiful write all the way through, and such amazing talent, Hope, really there. I applaud you.
Agreed. Thank you, Naomi. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, I've been to Corpus Christi, and it's been many times, several times I've been to there. It took me there. This is just an incredible ride, you know. It's just beautifully written. The emotions just pour, you know, they just pour from the beginning to the end, you know. And I like the way she uses the metaphors to describe the different, you know, her emotions and state of emotions. And what I enjoyed as well was the way that she describes the notion there where brides wait at the door, the ending there, forget me not. This is a very profound piece. It's a very personal piece. It's just a beautiful writer. It's just full of different array of emotions there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your beautiful comment. How about you, Laurent?
No, you're welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
This is a fascinating piece that it actually confused me a little initially. I was wondering where she was going with this. I was totally distracted by the language, beautiful language, watching the distance, constellations, writing galaxies, cosmic nebulas flowing down canals of molten comet stardust imploding in atmosphere's heat. There is that line following that stanza, swelling lips that plea vows. What a call for a commitment. This is such a, like you said, somebody said, personal poem. Finishing with the kittens and the puff, which I thought was charming. Bury and forget-me-nots. That was well done as well.
Indeed. Sometimes our children are our little pets, you know, our birds, our cats, our dogs, you know. Great. Thank you, Laurent. Wonderful comment. We're ready for our next poem.
Oh, goody. Yes, and it will be with us in momentarily. Un momento, por favor. Okay, we have ring-a-ding-ding. Somebody's laughing at my accent, I see. Scottish-Spanish accent doesn't sound so good. Ring-a-ding-ding by Nunu Cardosa and Laurent. Would you do us the inimitable pleasure of reading this for us?
No, I'll be happy to. Wrong folder. I'm sorry. There it is. Ring-a-ding-ding. Do not come knocking at my door. It is as useless as a doorbell on a tombstone. Yet you insist. Ring-a-ding-ding, baby. The splinters under your fingernails and scratches on my coffin won't heartthrob the doorknob. So please, leave this corpse to rot alongside the maggots and flies. Leave me to die out with the noises of the dogs that bark knives on neighbors' ears on Christmas Eve. One bad day away from kissing the night into the masses. America might be the right place to move into. Beer never comes knocking at the door. It keeps me company inside the belly and only enters the premises inside a paper bag, fizzing around while my torso shakes like a jazz band thundering on the saxophone, only to then burst off the bars between my teeth, opening windows on my mouth and spreading sharp glass shards into the toilet or the tub. So the next time you come knocking at my red-plated wooden door, bring beer, you brick-headed prick. End poem.
Fantastic read, Laurent. I really loved how you read Nuno Cardoso's poem. And let's get him some comments. What did you think about this awesome poem, Kate?
It was damn well awesome. It was so good. I knew when I read the title, come on, this is going to be good. Ring-a-ding-ding. Perfect. Set it up and I thought, go for it. And then I got, do not come knocking at my door. It's as useless as a doorbell on a tombstone. Ah, so cool. Yeah, you insist on ring-a-ding-ding, baby. Yeah, I thought it was very clever, very funny. I loved it. I hope it's meant to be funny. I loved it so much. And I'm going to read it again and again because I want beer come knocking at my door. Yeah. wonderful. Actually, you know, that was great. Well done. Thank you.
Yeah, for me, you know, I don't know if this is what he meant, but this is just how it makes me feel. And this is why I love poetry, because it makes everybody feel differently, and it's so delicious to hear their comments. For me, you know, I like solitary quietness, okay? And if you're going to ring or knock on my doorbell, you know, you need to call to let me know you're coming. Because I'm not going to open it. I just, like, I do not want to deal with whatever you're selling whatever you got, I don't want to know, okay? But if you call me up and tell me, hey, I'm bringing over some Dos Equis for us to drink with some lime and some salt, oh, baby, I'd be happy to. I'll start a fire for you in the backyard and just bring over the Dos Equis and some limon and some sal, and we are good to go. Otherwise, that door, like, I thought that was brilliant. That door is like a cover on a coffin. Stay away, go away, ding dong, I don't hear today. I love this poem, you know. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
Yeah, I enjoyed it for all the same reasons you guys did. You know, when we don't want to be alive to the world outside, then we just ignore that doorbell ring-a-ding-ding. And I thought it was fantastic, right, on the subject of friends bringing beer. Bring beer, you
Yeah. You guys drink Dos Equis up there?
We invented beer.
Right?
Scotsman invented beer. Yeah.
And really? I didn't know that. You know what? I do love a good German Hefeweizen. Oh, yeah. I didn't learn to drink beer until I went to Europe. I did. I would not touch it. I would not touch it. It had to be wine or champagne. And then when I went to live in Germany, I learned to drink more champagne.
Yeah.
And I learned to drink schnapps and Hefeweizen. And I do, and of course when you come back to the States, you've got to have Spanish beer because it's rich and it's delicious and it just tastes so good. Clamito, you know, clamato. So now you got me thinking about drinking. Yum, yum.
Me, no.
Okay.
No. Yep.
All right. We're ready for our next poem?
Okay. I have it here, I think. Oh, yes, I've got this one. This is Ignorance Thrives Under Shelter by Duke of SGP Dex Bailey. And Gray, would you like to read this?
Sure. Just one second here. Ignorance Thrives Under Shelter by Dex, by Duke of St. Paul Dex Bailey. Living behind the armor of an heirloom shell, passed to me in fear to deflect reasoning's attack. God made man equal, except if you're black or brown, gay, atheist, or Muslim, then you're a social problem. Slavery has been abolished for over 150 years. Why does my tax money need to help their kids? They just use it for drugs. Look on the news, it's just thugs. Just drove home drunk, doing coke, and playing golf at the Pond Country Club. We need to up the police budget, clean up these city streets, secure our southern borders, hire Mexicans to cut my lawn cheap. With my family every Sunday, dressed up attending mass, imagining cheating on my wife with a woman in front of me. Every reading, every verse, in one ear, out the other. I stand blindly behind the Bible and contradict every word. I believe in America first. I'm a patriot that's never served. Contribute 1999 to wounded vets when I bought my bumper sticker. The American dream, I'm in love with the illusion. I refuse to view life with an open mind and accept baseless statements as truth. Voice loudly my opposition of all these Black Lives protests. Yet defend the right of free speech whenever it's a Nazi show of strength. God, what did I do to deserve this? Saw my only son in a woman's dress. It forced me to beat him with my fists. I blame the schools for what they teach these kids. End poem.
Thank you, Gray. You did a fabulous job on Duke of Step Dex Bailey, Ignorance Thrives Under Shelter. So let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Naomi?
Are you on mute, my dear?
It seems Naomi's dropped.
Okay. What did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, you know, there's a lot said in this poem here. You know, I'll be very brief. I thought it was a fantastic observation on what the prompt is like here. There's so much here you take in what goes on in America. But I'm always there for free speech there. So I do think that he did a fantastic job of conveying what the prompt had ordered here. But it was a great piece here. Very reflective as well. Very inflective as well, too.
Thank you so much. And Laurent, what did you think of Dex's poem?
Don't get me wrong. The writing is very skillful. The content is distasteful.
You know, it's these are the things that we see going on in the United States, and it's not just here, it's in other countries. The dealing with slavery, how the poor, people find ways for a release. And unfortunately, they use drugs. And other people use the richness who just don't give a damn. And these are political opinions. You know, this is whether he believes in them or not, I don't know. But the things that he sees that is happening, you know, just today we had more shootings in California, unfortunately. You know, I pray for those families. And, you know, I do believe we do need, I don't know why people don't think they don't need some type of law in their land. Because who do you call when somebody's breaking into your home or damaged your car? We need police. And, you know, these are just personal opinions. Does it mean that we agree with them or not? But these are things that we see going on.
Can I just interject pretty quickly?
Yes.
These are, if you go down to the notes here, all due respect to Dexter, he does say there that these are not his beliefs and the poem and you can scroll down and see that.
Well,
Well, I'm happy. You know, but, you know, these are things, you know, we don't care for our vets. You know, our vets that, you know, in different countries, we need to take care of those that take care of our country and support them and provide them health care, provide them retirement pay. It needs to be better. And, you know, unfortunately, we see all these things, and yes, they piss me off, and yes, they make me unhappy, because I believe just like we were created from the earth, we're all different colors, just like the different types of sand and dirt. It's brown, black, white, all different colors. And just show respect for another person. You know, love is the strongest emotion. And I believe if we showed love and respect, things would be so much better around the world if we care for each other the best we can and if we can. So I want to thank everybody who called in our show today. I want to thank Katie and Gray Eyes and Naomi and Frank and Laurent. I love you guys, and I've missed you so much. I'm glad to be back on the show. I'm so happy to see Selena and Nuno and Hope in the group hanging out. I love it, and Dex for hanging out in the group. We love you guys. And I want to wish you a good night. I love you. Te amo mucho. Besitos a todos y besos.
To
all of you guys. Love you guys.
Love you,
Jenna.
Love
you. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Sweet
dreams.
Night, Naomi.
Thank you, Katie. Love you much. Good night, everybody. Love you,
Greg.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, definitely. Good night, my darlings.
Bye. Good night. So somebody come ring a ding a ding on my door, okay?
I'm gonna send you the Jehovah's Witnesses over there. I'm gonna send you the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, they don't bother me. They're nice people. All right, talk to y'all. Yeah, right. Love you guys. Good night.
So sweet.